Say, I receive it. I'm telling you, things that you've been trying to get rid of, that you didn't want in your life, but it just kept coming. Just thoughts and desires and beliefs. You didn't want them. You'd already rejected them. You confessed them as sin about a million times. Today, deliverance today. Amen. Deliverance today. Amen. Ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord, to me, Jesus, Lord, to me, Jesus, Lord. To me, Master, save, Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace, ruler of my heart today,
covenant in the forgiveness of sin. So the blood thou came, when came under the new covenant. Forgiveness of sin is a promise of God in the new covenant. Amen. It's also a promise that you can become a child of God. They need the other covenant. Promise. Let's receive the covenant. Lord, we thank you, sir, because of your obedience to death and sin, we are free this morning. You set us free from sin and death because of your obedience, sir. You took that punishment. You took stripes. You went into the belly of the earth and you bore my judgment. Because of you, I live. Because of you, I'm free. I'm delivered from sin and death. Death can't touch me. I just go to heaven because of you. We remember it was a victory over the death when you came up. Amen. Come and say amen.
Amen.
So I have victory over death.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. You won't know death. You just leave this body.
Amen.
Well, you go down on the valley, on the bed, wherever you have. The spirit and soul, you can move out. Now there's a big old shout. If you hear that, let the body go with you. We know one day that Jesus will step out and say, Mother Trevor, bring them home. I'm ready to see my family.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from death today, it will never lose its power. The blood that Jesus shed for me. That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches and it reaches to the highest mountain. That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose. Oh, it will never lose. It will never lose. Oh, no. It will never lose its power. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I got a question for you. What
can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the
we worship you, High King, our priest, our high priest in heaven. Oh, we're so grateful that you were given for us. Oh, we're grateful that your blood was shed for the remittance of sin. You have blotted it out. And 1 Corinthians 10 says you've made a way of escape.
Yes.
Oh, we're grateful that you've given us a way of escape, High Priest. We're grateful that you are the Lord, the King, thy God, the one that sacrificed, the Holy Lamb of God, the one that all of heaven joins hands together and worships the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8 says, I'm not sure if I can read and play at the same time, but I'll tell you what it says. It says, we receive communion to remember that he died. And we receive an offering as a witness that he lives. Woo! Jesus is alive. Say, I believe.
Jesus
is alive.
Okay, and within that worship, that truth from your precious word, we declare the glory of God over the tithes and offerings of your people. We declare that you are alive in our hearts through these tithes and offerings. These are declarations made unto our King that we are yours and you live in us and we are joint heirs. I was reading today in Romans that we are more than conquerors. And I thought, what does more than a conqueror mean? And the Holy Spirit said, it means that you are my son.
Yeah!
Hallelujah! Yeah. Oh, I've declared you mine.
Thank you, Lord.
I've inscribed your name in the palms of my hands and no death can take that away. You're mine forever.
Yes.
And I thank you for receiving the offerings, yes. High Priest in heaven,
yes.
Sitting on the mercy seat, redeeming our souls day by day. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory today. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Oh, shout to the Lord, shout to the Lord.
Shout to the Lord. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Hallelujah.
Testing. There it is. That's
you're
it.
You're
you go ahead.
When was it? Thursday evening. Went to Joseph's soccer practice after work, and when we got home, Joseph was in trouble. So we went to his room. Like about 5 minutes later, we noticed that he went from his room to Mama's room, and we followed him in there to just kind of see what why'd he move. And when we got in there, Meredith was talking with Joseph, and I looked at Mama, and she seemed to be in distress. And I looked at her and said, Mama, are you feeling all right? And she's like, she would try to say something, and she couldn't utter the words. Are you all right? Are you feeling all right? She goes, I can't catch my breath. I can't catch my breath. And at that point, I went and sat next to her. I said, how are you feeling? She said, I can't catch my breath. And then she grasped her chest and just started in clutches. Oh my gosh, she's having a heart attack. And Joseph was sitting right there, right next to her. And I had to move out, and I asked Meredith to call 911. She went off and did that, and Joseph stayed there with me. And I called Nancy and Philip. I wanted to get Joseph out of the environment. I didn't want him to see Mama having a heart attack. I didn't want to see it. I'm much less, you know, 4-year-old. And in about 5 minutes, Meredith came back, and I'm looking for medication for Mama. She comes back and she says the emergency team was on their way. And at that point, she asked Joseph to come out of the room. And I said, no, I want him in here. Because he was so calm. I felt this calmness over him. And I pulled him over. And I said, let's pray for Mama. And we laid hands on her. And I started praying. And Joseph, right there with me, he starts saying, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Then I start, in my recount of this, after all the excitement, I heard him uttering, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Because my audible ears did not understand English. I just heard, in Jesus' name, and then him going off in another language. And about 5 minutes later, I was prompted in my spirit to just start speaking to the actual attack on Mama. I started speaking to the devil to get out. He had no authority there. Our house is sanctified by God and His Word. And we started praying that specifically over it and casting that devil out. Immediately, Joseph, he's there with me. She starts to feel better. She like takes this deep breath and just like exhales, and she's like, I feel better. Like about 5 minutes later, the EMT gets there. They start asking her questions. They start taking her vitals. They take an EKG. Everything is normal. Everything is perfect. Nothing wrong with her. Her blood pressure is better than mine. The whole time Joseph is there, not crying. I didn't want him to see all that, but he was there, calm, strong, involved, engaged. And even the technicians that were observing it all commented on how strong he was, how calm throughout the whole process it was. And it was a miracle before our eyes that Mama is, she's, you know, 100%. But that little boy right there, he was following God.
Amen.
He was following God. Praise God.
Thank you. The main thing I want to bring out to you, see, faith can come from a child. And he, because of Mom and Daddy trained him, and then we confirmed that training here at church, with Children's Church. So we're confirming what they're teaching at home, and so they know what to do. Joseph knew what to do because mama and daddy trained him and church trained him. So he knew what to do. Grab a hold of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So it's so important that we have children in church, and we have some wonderful people who volunteer to teach each week. That's why we have children in church, because we have a person willing to get here and back here with the children. Amen. So we are, and our, like I said all along, our children are going to know spiritual things. They're going to know it because of grandparents are teaching, amen, and the church you're attending is teaching, amen. So praise God. Now, let me pray right quick. You pray with me, one. Father, I ask you to help me deliver this message exactly like you wanted, the exact words you once said, and exact manifestation of the anointing that you want for this lesson. As I was seeking God this week and praying and wanting to, my heart this week was so close to the church people. It was, I could just feel like I was with you every day, every morning. I feel you, and I knew one of your names would come up, and I talked to God about you and say blessings and speak what he wanted me to say over you. I was so close to me. I said, Father, give me something that would change their lives. And he said to me this, a lot of them have come to a blockade in their block, and I cannot take them any further in their walk until they go to a healing, a deliverance from me. He said that. I said, whoa. Help me. I said, help me. Because I know he loves you. And I love you too. And I want to know what's going on. And he gave me this message to bring to you. All right? And so in my life, the Lord has helped me overcome what I'm going to share with you today. Let's take the first verse, please. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Now notice something. God didn't put a man in there and say, oh, just goof off. Everybody has a job in the kingdom of God. There's not God don't want you to be doing nothing. Amen. And somebody say, well, I'm retired. Pray. Speak the word over me, at least me, Lord, selfish. Speak the word over God's children, amen? He gives us a job. Let's go forward, please. And the Lord God commanded man. God commands you. God commands you. The American way is, I'm independent. I don't submit to any command. He is the boss. He is the creator. He made you. You exist because of him. So he has a right to tell you what to do. He said that, did he? He said, eat freely, as much as you desire. Amen? But that, you couldn't be a glutton then because sin hadn't been made yet. And you're in a garden that's full of fruit. Most time people overeat because they're afraid they're not going to have enough. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil shall not eat it. For the day you eat it, you will surely die. Now, in the Hebrew, surely and die are translated from the same Hebrew word. So, actually, the translator should have translated, you shall die. And that makes sense, because you die spiritually and you die, what, physically. When man sinned, he died. Die does not mean you don't exist no more. It means you're separated from God and God's plan for you. So Adam and Eve sinned, so they were no longer under God's plan. So God had to implement his plan of Jesus coming to the earth and redeeming man back to the full plan of God. Amen? May we go forward, please. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? Now, You know that God knew where he was at, right? God knows everything. He's omnipresent, right? So he knew where he was at, but he was trying to get the man to, what, confess up. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was, what? Before he and Eve ate that fruit, every day God would come down and fellowship and walk and talk and teach them every day. Every day he would do that. Come down, and they were face to face with God. There was no threat. They didn't feel threatened. They didn't have any fear. But now they disobeyed God, and fear has set in. I was afraid. I was what? Naked. And what did God say? Who told you you were naked? Meaning, all those days I was walking and talking and teaching you, I never told you that you were naked. You know why? They were covered with God's glory. Right? And look at this. So when they ate of that fruit, they died. And that in that death was a fear that came in. Right? And he said, because I was naked, I hid myself. And when we disobey God's word, his rules, and what he expects of us, we hide ourselves. We don't go to the church. Or we say, it's my wife's fault I stayed home. Well, I had to watch the Cowboys play today. I didn't have time to go to church. You know, the Rangers are playing at 12 o'clock. I have to be home. Right? No. You're hiding from the fact that you don't want people to see who you are and what you've done. And said, who told you you were naked? Who caused him to sin? Who's now bragging that a man is created in the image of God and has dominion over the Lord? Who's now bragging that, hey, they're not there no more? Satan. Satan tricked him. Satan deceived him. And they ate their fruit, and now they are dead like he's dead. Now he's separated. They're separated from God like he's separated from God. And the first thing he did is what? Hid himself. Amen? For the Lord God helped me, therefore I have not been ashamed or confounded. Now here, the Lord God helped them. The people were ashamed and they were confounded. And people say, oh, Pastor, I'm not confounded. Have you ever heard, I don't know what to do? You were confounded. There's two weapons Satan will use against you. One is shame and the other is confounded. And these are major weapons from him. He will try to shame you. Amen? And so I want to share with you that what Satan will do is get you to commit an act or a sin or do something that is sin, and then you will, what? Be ashamed. And this happens sometimes a parent will do something wrong to you, and it will be called shame. Or sometimes maybe a spouse will do something to shame you. And you carry that shame. It's wounds in here. It's wound in your heart that you've been shamed. And sometimes it's your teacher, or sometimes it's your neighbor, or sometimes it's a kid. Your kid did something to shame you. And you receive that shame. But we've got to realize the shame and being confounded or not knowing the answer, it is part of Satan's weapons against you to keep you from being strong in the kingdom of God. Keep you from doing what God called you to do. Some may say, well, I'm not quite as smart as everybody else. I have left beans in my pocket and then. Your intelligence is not qualify who you are. You have been made by Almighty God, and that's enough. If he thought enough to you to bring you into the earth, that's plenty. Amen? Sometimes it's, my dad didn't ever hug me. He didn't ever tell me to love me. I mean, he was mean to me. That doesn't mean you're a mistake.
because of the failure of a parent. God made you. Perfectly made you. You're all right, baby. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. So if we will set our face and look unto the author of our salvation, we won't be put to shame. Do you see that these are two mighty weapons that Satan will try to use against you? Now, to us as Christians, they're not mighty. Jesus took the power out of them. This is because my parent mistreated me. Doesn't mean I'm a mistake or I'm rejected. I'm accepted in the beloved. Yeah, but you don't understand. My child did something and shamed me. Get delivered, honey. We've all been there. And I may have been the child that did it. But I'm forgiven. And you've been forgiven. Amen. I may have been the spouse and shamed Elizabeth. But guess what? She's over it. How does shame get into our life? Because of pride, shame comes. Elizabeth's not nice to me, so I can do what I want. There's a secret, guys. You're not judged of what she does to you. You're judged for what you do to her. She's judged for what she does to me. I'm ashamed of myself. I get upset and I fuss around. Oh, I'm worthless. I'm going to quit preaching because I blew it. I made a mistake. What is that? The devil worked shame on me. My parents did not do this to me. But, you know, as a pastoring, I've come across it where a parent was shamed in their life. Maybe a father was mean to the son. The father didn't say, I love you, son. I'm proud of you. And so that son feels rejected, feels unwanted, feels as a failure. My dad didn't say he loved me, but I knew by his actions he loved me. Amen? And sometimes the actions mean take a belt and spank him good. And I was really loved by my mama. She planted a peach tree right outside the front door. And she'd run out there and say, Johnny! I'll should go out there, they can cut a peach limb off. Oh, I wish he trimmed all the limbs off. Sometimes she's so mad she whipped me with the limbs. We're on the switch. With no pride in that. My point is, see, parents can cause a child to be in shame. By the training, by the teaching, by the actions on them. Amen? And like I said, I didn't deal with that. But what I had to deal with as a child, I went to bed. I went to bed all the way through high school and into college. And God, I got married and I was concerned. This wasn't with Elizabeth. It's with my first wife that passed away. And so I prayed and asked God for help. And he did deliver me and never again since then. Amen? But my point is, see, that caused shame. And I had shame going up through high school. And they called me Sandlapper and Weird Beard and Mr. Mustache and all kind of things. My last name is Beard. Right? They killed me all kind of names. And that was before they even knew what a bully was in school. But I sure knew what a bully was. Right? And so I was walking down in high school. I was a freshman. I was walking down the hallway. And all of a sudden I picked up and I was upside down. One of the tackles on the football team grabbed my pant leg and picked me upside down. And then walking down the school, and I was upside down. Well, you kind of feel scrawny. So, see, all those things, I let them shame me. I had to do something to offset that shame so I would have value. And so what I did, I tried to play football. And I thought I really arrived. I was a halfback on the A-team. I made. Amen? I became a halfback. And you say, well, that's good. But hey, I only weighed 120 pounds. But I was mean 120 pounds. Well, I thought I was anyway. The point is, see, I tried to, put down because I felt what? Ashamed of myself. I should have overcome those things in my life, but I was ashamed. So I tried to overcome it by being the best in football. I was a miler, and you know, a miler is a person that runs a mile. And I went to regional in the mile. Okay, and so I tried to overcome it, and I felt like my dad was not proud of me. He never said, "I'm proud of you." You could see he was, but he never confessed, "Son, I'm proud of you and I love you." He never said that. I'm trying to make him tough. You're hurting him. You're not making him tough. You're hurting him emotionally, which controls his body and controls his actions. Allowed Satan a door to bring him shame. And so he was spending the rest of his life trying to prove he's all right and not a mistake. We had to adjust. Sometimes one of the people in a marriage is overbearing, controlling, wanting to be the center of attention. What caused them that way? Many times it's because they could not please a parent, or they were shamed because they could not please a parent. Right? You see what I'm saying? And because of that shame, that opened the door for Satan to bring in the shame, and they spend the rest of their life trying to get approval, or they become hopeless and become a drug addict, or become a dope fiend, or become an alcoholic. This is important. This is how he's getting into our United States of America. All these things, he brings us shame in and causes people to turn to drugs or turn to sex all the time. He's trying to overcome and prove they're accepted. That they're not a mistake. They're worthy of somebody saying, "You're good. You are God's special creation." They won't turn to God because they think, if I'm a failure to my parents, or a failure to my spouse, I'm definitely a failure to him. And I'm not preaching, don't discipline your children. It's how you do discipline them. Because it says, what in Proverbs, it says what happens when you don't discipline a child. So discipline, but with love. My dad loved me good. And mama did too. Whoa. I don't regret any of those spankings because it created character and told me what was right and what was wrong. And my parents loved me so much they wouldn't let me go do wrong. They wanted me to know right from wrong. The right living and the wrong living. And sometimes that's kind of hard for us grandparents. We want to give them everything we didn't give our kids. We're trying to make up, which is more error than the first error. We're trying to make up. Well, you're telling them that the authority over you is not right. Sound like Satan. Did God tell you not to eat of that tree? He just don't want you to be like him. See the lie? See the deception? He's trying to set him up to sin so he can bring shame into the earth. Right? Okay, let's go further. Oh, let's talk about Jesus. I got to learn to stay over here, brother. That pew is blocking the transmission. Did I say pew? Pulpit. Look at this. This is Jesus. Can you see all right? Look at this. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men. Okay. Why did the people despise him? What were they doing when they rejected him? Take a guess. They were shaming him because you have all these thousands of people fucking around you. You're feeding the multitude with little fishes and loaves, and you are healing the multitude. Oh, we can't have that. Why didn't you do it? Never mind, I'll go there. But see, Jesus went to the cross, and people were shaming him. He said, we'll teach you contrary to what our beliefs are. And they rejected him and were trying to shame him. Now, I used to get mad at those people. I said, if I was there, I would take a laser gun and I'd kill all of them. Because they hurt my Jesus. Duh, John. He did this so you could be free. Wake up and smell the coffee. At least smell the roses. He did all those things to take the shame away from us. We have done things that were wrong. We've done things that were sin. We've done things that we're not proud of, and we don't want people to know. We're hiding them and keep hiding them, but tell Jesus about them. We don't need to know them, but you need to get rid of them by giving them to him. He bore them. You can't hide it from him. Come on, get open. He knows it. He knew it before you were doing it. You know why I know? Because he paid for it already on the cross. Oh, that went dead. He's already paid for the thing you did wrong. He paid for it before you were even born. He paid for it on the cross and in the belly of the earth in God raising for it. It's paid for. You got to take it to him and say, I need your help. Deliver me from this shame and pain. That pain is intense, man. It hurts you so bad. It's intense. It tears lives apart. It tears marriages apart. It tears churches apart. The pain in those people. And they say, okay, Lord. He said not to say that. Sorry. Glad you caught that one, Lord. Let's go forward, please. I almost got in trouble. Surely he bore our what? And what? And what? Shame is a weakness that Satan uses on you. But Jesus bore it. Does that mean you have to? No way, Jose. No way. You do not have to bear it. Well, I just got to carry this burden. You've been lied to. You don't have to carry that burden. Jesus took the burden. Amen? Somebody shout amen. Amen? Sickness and weakness and what? So you don't have to bear distress either. So that means you don't have to bear worry. Because Jesus took your worry. You can just say, no, I give that to Jesus. It's his, not mine. Well, how can you say it's his? It's on you. Because he took my worries and he bore it on the cross and in the belly of the earth. He took them. I don't have to carry the load. Satan is lying to the church. We do not have to carry a burden. Well, you have a burden for so. No, you don't. You just have to obey God and preach the gospel. You don't have to carry no burden. Just do your job. Then you won't need a burden. I'm having fun. I hope you are. And carry our sorrows and pains. See that? The pain of that shame. Shame has pain with it, people. And he bore my punishment. And we say, well, I don't deserve anything from God. I'm not worthy. How did you get saved? Because you're worthy? If I say that, you should know. Because I accepted Jesus. Well, your pains have been paid for because you accepted Jesus. Your problems have been paid for because, I have problems because I'm falling short of the glory of God. Didn't he bear you falling short? When you fall short, he took those, right? Yet we ignorantly consider him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as with leprosy. Amen. So Jesus took all those things. You not knowing what to do, he bore that. He bore sickness. He bore unhappiness. He bore discouragement. He bore shame. He bore you not knowing. He took all of that. He is the ultimate final answer to human beings. And if you know how to receive it, then you can be delivered from your past. See, shame always ties you to the past. God always takes you to the future. Always. So that's how you can tell if you're allowing shame to rule you. When you always say, oh, I did this in 1912. What does 1912 have anything to do with? It's because in your mind and your heart, Satan has tied you to some failure in your past. When you need to realize that Jesus Christ fixed it. It's not there. He brought it out.